Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Better Business Bureau has been around for more than a century. It can trace its origins to efforts to fight false advertising. It has since evolved to warn you about deceptive business practices and all sorts of digital scams. I'm Rob Hart. We talk about how you can protect your money, your identity, and your family with Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago, on this weekend's edition of At Issue. Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago, thank you for joining us today on At Issue.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, first up, I'll let you know we have a new policy on At Issue, and that is before this program can continue, I need your Social Security number and $100 in Bitcoin.
I gave it to somebody by the elevator.
Just wanted to keep you on your toes.
Sure.
The Better Business Bureau is celebrating a very important anniversary. It's the big 100. How have things changed in the Better Business Bureau's mission? What were some of the practices that were taking place a century ago that led to the establishment of this organization?
Well, actually, the Better Business Bureau started actually early on because of false advertising. That's really our grassroots efforts to prevent businesses wanted to curtail that. And there was no protection yet. We actually, our national office started in 1912. That was our first office 113 years ago. And basically they did to go help with the advertisements, the false advertisements. All the businesses said these ads are misleading and there's nobody to protection. So they started a vigilance committee, which actually ended up turning into the Better Business Bureau movement. So first we were the Better Advertising Bureau and then mushroomed into the Better Business Bureau. But some of the scams that we see now were still around in the 20s, stuffing envelopes and making money from home, the hair tonics, some of the stuff now. But everything has shifted to the digital world ever since the pandemic, especially now because everybody's buying and selling online.
And it sounds like a lot of the practices that the Better Business and Better Advertising Bureaus were formed to prevent eventually were fought with legislation, that it led to codifying practices against false advertising.
Yes, there's a lot of laws and regulations now, but everybody always pushes the envelope, and that's where we still get involved. We have our own code of advertising. It's just a little bit similar to the laws that are out there, but we have our unique code of advertising for business practices we ask companies to adhere to. So yes, there's law has changed, but people still push the envelopes. We still do advertising review on a continuous basis. 75 years in business. Have you been in business 75 years, or is it one person, you know, for 50 years and the other person's 25? So we kind of look at all the types of advertisement, and government's not there to really to protect you as much as you think. And that's what consumers and businesses always fall on, is they realize that, you know, really they got to take matters into their own hands. Sometimes the lawsuits are filed and we try to prevent those lawsuits and getting involved in the self-regulatory efforts of the Better Business Bureau.
Now, how is the Better Business Bureau structured? Because you are a presence on the airwaves and have been for a very long time. You see the stickers on the doors of businesses. You in commercials they say, you know, we're accredited by the Better Business Bureau. What is it and how is it structured?
So basically we're a nonprofit organization. So we're all autonomous organizations. So there's 91 of us in most major cities throughout the U.S. and Canada as well. We have an international office in Arlington, Virginia that controls the trademarks and the policies and procedures that we must handle. So I'm responsible for Chicago and Northern Illinois, all the area up here. But we're autonomous. We have our own board of directors. We have the largest board in the country. We have 99 business leaders. One of them previously was Leo Burnett himself. The advertising magnate back in the 50s and 60s, he was on our board. So we have a board of 99, and we have about 10,000 businesses that support us, including WBBM Radio.
Well, I was going to say, if you were a Better Business Bureau member, how do you sign up? And as you mentioned, how are you vetted? If somebody does say, we've been in business for 75 years, and that's only if you just add up the experience of all the employees, you know, how do you do that research and checking?
Well, there's some things we do. We actually do the vetting process. We ask them to apply for accreditation. We review it. We look in the computers to see if there's any other complaints filed against them or any previous governmental action as well. And we look at the complaints that brought in, if there's any patterns and things of that nature. And we check if they have insurance and their license for the industry that they're representing. If you're a plumber, they make sure they have a license. We do check that. We don't check all the advertisements. Obviously, it's too much to handle. Competitors turn each other in pretty often as well. So we're pretty good on that. A competitor will know if they're misleading or sending out incorrect advertisements as well, especially like auto dealers or the waterproofers or whatever industry construction that we get. We had a lot of advertising complaints filed as well.
From a dollars and cents perspective, what does it mean to a business owner to have that BBB accreditation?
Well, BBB accreditation basically is a seal. It's a sign of a better business, as we say. They mean this company adhered to the Better Business Bureau standards for complaints and issues and marketing and advertising, and that they must adhere to our standards. So once you buy into the accreditation, you have to maintain it or we will take it away. So probably about 20 or 30 companies a year, we revoke the accreditation of the organization, take that seal away from them. So basically, these companies voluntarily join our BBB to show the others that they're a sign of a better business, that they are adhering to our codes, and they believe in the self-regulatory method, and they can't have any unresolved complaints. So if you have a file a complaint against an accredited business, they have to address the complaint. If they don't, they will be revoked from accreditation in the BBB.
Now, we talk back to the early days, whether it's the deceptive advertising in 1912 or the establishment in 1925. It's that there a lot of things have changed because of technology, but there are a lot of practices that were in place 100 years ago that continue today in a modified form that are avenues to rip off well-meaning people.
One of the biggest ones is making more money at home, stuffing envelopes or those types of situations. There's always get-rich-quick schemes. They're around a long time ago. You know, business has been around forever, and there's also been bad businesses over the years as well. There's a lot of legitimate businesses in our area all across North America, but unfortunately, we always hear about the bad ones, the ones that ruin it for everybody else.
What is the prevalence of job scams, and who is the most common victim?
So we've been seeing the increase of job scams at the Better Business Bureau because obviously everybody's applying online and your resume is out there. So all your information is out there. The scammer knows how to contact you. So whether you go to a legitimate board and then they send you this false ad and they want to get you off that board by clicking that link. What's really scary about that, Rob, is they basically ask for information they need to steal your identity. So if you're working for an organization, you need to give them your bank account number, your social security number, and those things. And they use that to your advantage in stealing your identity. And it happens to be the younger generations are falling for these job scams. They're ones that are looking more for these opportunities to work from home, remote locations, or whatever it may be. And they're promised all these sorts of six-figure incomes for little or no work. What's really alarming now is they're actually taking you through the interview process, the scammers. So it's a little bit more elaborate. What I mean by that is we're going to interview tomorrow. Then they interview the next day. So you get the sense that this is a legitimate organization, and it's not. So sometimes people have gone through five sets of interviews, then given their social security number, bank account number. And some consumers, they actually bought equipment. So they're saying, okay, you're hired, Rob, but you need to buy an iPhone, you need to buy an iPad, and we'll reimburse you off your first check. But send us the items because we have to put our software on it. So not only you bought it for them, you just shipped it to them as well.
See, this is a scam in which I see it. It comes in as a text or maybe as an unsolicited message, email, and I'll dismiss it immediately because it's like, obviously, this is a transparent ripoff. But I have a job that I like. And if you don't have a job, if you have been unemployed, if you're looking, if you're frustrated, and then this solicitation comes out of the blue, maybe your frustration, maybe your emotional state will allow you to override all of the rational parts of your brain.
You're right. It does override the rational parts of your brain because they want to get this job. They see it. It's true. It's on the internet. and it's a verified, it's a big company that they want to work for. It's a well-known company or organization, and only to find out it was just somebody being an imposter using that information against them. With the advent of AI and all the technology, it's so easy to create ads. It's great products. They can, AI does everything, marketing pieces for you. So the old days of spelling grammar issues, that's all gone now. Actually, it's better. The AI is much better on that. So if it's a spelling error, it's usually done by a human. And the opposite now is with AI. But with AI infiltration of all types of scams, that's the alarming part with the Better Business Bureau. We're seeing it because it's so hard to determine if it's done by AI, created by AI, or if there's actually a person behind it.
We're talking about how you can avoid becoming a victim of flim-flam men here, there, and everywhere with Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago. This is Rob Hart. You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. The AI component, this is, you're not alone in sounding the alarm on how AI can be used to scam people and in more sophisticated ways, because this is another scam that's been around as long as Facebook has been around, is that you get the message from the friend who says, I'm stuck in some far-flung location. I lost my wallet. I lost my phone. I need you to send me some money so I can get home. And I would imagine nowadays, using AI, it's not just the person sending you a message. It could potentially be a representation of that person on maybe a video call.
Yes, it's video call or a regular cell call as well. So the AI actually goes on Facebook, takes that video you may have, the grandchild may have a video on it, takes that voice off the recording and puts it into a caller so they can use it on the cell phone to dial the grandparents, because they have the grandparents on Facebook and other, you know, sources like that, so they knew who they are, and they use it against you. That it's been an accident sometimes, or I've been arrested for drunk driving, and I need quick cash. Please go out and get this and wire me the money as well. And that's why the Better Business Bureau is sounding the alarm for years. Every family should have a code word. What I mean by that, everybody should have a code word. So whether it be Starburst or whatever it may be, so every family member that calls you up, what is the code word? Because really, you cannot tell now the difference between voices and between AI. It is getting better in each and every day. And there was a recent news report out of New York where the reporter used AI to call his mother to get his Social Security number for something, and she gave it to him, thought it was him on the phone. So it's really alarming where it's going. It just keeps learning each and every day. It's hard to keep up with it. Unless you're an AI expert, it's really hard to know all the nuances of AI. But it's infiltrating all sorts of scams. Like I was saying, and we've seen last Christmas, where they actually create products, fake products. You can tell AI to create a product, create a marketing piece, and have it automatically put it on a website and start getting traffic to it.
And then we talk about shopping scams a lot, especially around the holidays. Is that still the biggest category of scam? Just online shopping scams, taking advantage once again of people who really need to get that item right now for a holiday or a birthday or some other special occasion. And that sense of urgency, again, overrides the rational part of their brain.
It does, especially around the holiday season. We see always an uptick in complaints. I've been doing this for 38 years at the Better Business Bureau. I see it each and every time, and it keeps increasing, and especially now online, because more and more people are online and they're trustworthy. They don't do any research. My biggest frustration in my career has been consumers who come to us saying, I checked out this company after I've been scammed, only to find out it's a scam. Well, they would have done all that work ahead of time. They wouldn't have been scammed. So people are too trustworthy. And also these boxes pop up because you may be looking for a TV, Rob. And all of a sudden, an hour later, a shiny new TV comes on the side in a box. And it's half of the price. You click on it. You don't know who you're buying it from. You're thinking it's Facebook or whatever, TikTok or whatever it may be behind it. It's not. It's a third party putting an advertisement on. So you're clicking on somebody else's link and you don't know where it's going. It could be going to China. It could be going anywhere. You may get a TV. You may get a counterfeit. You may get nothing. So it's really hard online shopping. You've got to find out who you're doing business with. Make sure it's a trusted source. But now with the internet, it's just like it's so difficult to determine that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
And the irony is we have so much more information available to us to determine if we're being ripped off, to determine if a product is good, to determine if a price is fair. If you're concerned about the quality of a product and whether or not it's good, you can click on 7 million product reviews. There are resources available to tell you if this is a good price or not, if you're getting ripped off or not. And yet, it still persists.
We see it all the time. I think people are in a fast-paced society. They don't take their time to do what we call their due diligence in checking out the offer of the company itself. They check out it after they've been scammed, only to find out they should have done this ahead of time. But the AI is getting better, so it's creating a better environment. It makes it look like it's an authentic website. There might be just one character different in the URL, and you're thinking it's the company you know and trust, and it's not. So it's getting so sophisticated now that we see the increase in complaints. But people, the primal reason of people get taken advantage of, they don't do the research. And I can't stress how important it is, especially if just a box appears. Don't buy anything if you see the box appears, unless you know it's going to a trusted company, organization. Most times you don't. It's just a box, and you just click on it, and you put your credit card information. You know, deal with well-known and trusted organizations as well. It's like somebody comes to your house, Rob. You don't let them in the door to do house work in your house.
I do that all the time.
You got
to wrong
a little bit. You got to make sure that you do your research on them, that they are who they are. And you want two or three bids anyway. So it's that quick, fast-paced society where people look after, and it's my biggest frustration in my career. I've seen people lose their life savings making a split decision like that.
And let's look at things from the scammer's point of view, because you're seeing more research and more journalism about these digital scams and the victims of digital scams. And chances are it's a group of people in a boiler room at some location anywhere in the world. And they're sending these solicitations out all the time. And they can send out hundreds, thousands, millions based on the technology available to them. And they only have to work once or twice or three times just to be fabulously successful.
You're right, Robin. And they actually, with the AI now, they're actually doing the work that they needed to do before. In the old days when we were growing up, it was envelopes. People would work at home, stuff it in envelopes, and they have to mail you the solicitation. Now with AI and all the technology, it does all the work for them. So they can basically sit, like you're right, they're in a coffee shop somewhere, they're sending this information out. The ulterior motive of these scams usually are to get your identity, to steal your identity. And that's the fastest growing white collar crime today. You know, the Federal Trade Commission last year had about 1.7 million cases, with about another 5 million that's somewhat tied into identity theft. And I think people need to be really careful about their identity. And sometimes it's stolen without your being aware. I got a call from a Naperville Police Department saying my ID was stolen. I didn't know that. You know, a former Attorney General Lisa Madigan had her ID stolen a couple times as well. So no matter how much protection you do, you still, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you'll become a victim. But make sure you take care of looking at it.
Let's talk about good online practices, because I'm sure you see this as well. I do all the time, whether it's Facebook or X, the former Twitter, or name the social media application of your choice. There are these prompt-based discussion starters that get a lot of engagement where, what's the name of your first pet? Where were you born? Like, all these questions, they're very innocent questions on their own. But taken together, someone finally said, why are you answering your password retrieval question, or just putting it out there for the rest of the world to see? Like, we do these things not knowing they can be harmful. So what are some good social media practices to keep some of the identity thieves at bay.
Never give information about yourself to anybody you don't know. So somebody calls you out of the blue or completing a survey. We've seen the surveys all the time. Win a $500 Best Buy gift card by filling out the survey. They're asking you for just personal and confidential information as well. I think consumers are too freely giving out their information, not knowing that there's somebody on the back lurking in the weeds waiting to take advantage of the situation and steal your identity in some way. So usually it's information they may be saying they're calling from the government. Sometimes they call you out of the blue and they say they need your account number or you're going to be arrested with the IRS. You got to pay your back taxes. But you can go to a local retail store and get a gift card and it'll prevent you from going to jail. The officer's on the way to your house. So what we really say is something wants you to act in 20 or 30 minutes, that's the tip off to the rip off, I'd like to say. The only thing you should do in 30 minutes is buy a pizza. Everything else, do the research on the organization, talk to somebody else. We have a scam tracker at the BBB. So if you get a call from the IRS, you can put IRS call and look through the scam tracker and see all the types of scams and preventing it. So I think consumers rely on government that can be there to protect them, Rob, and they're not. No, most times, I mean, they get away with this all the time, these scammers. You got to, the only put scams out of business is not to give them your business. So that's the most important thing.
And then when it comes to leaving a trail of crumbs just through your social media habits every day that could be picked up on by identity thieves or scammers, we all love posting pictures of our kids on social media. We all love posting pictures of our vacations on social media, especially where we are right now. And maybe we post videos of people speaking on social media. We talked about one particular Facebook scam before, but all of that stuff, when taken together, could be used by a bad actor who wants to separate you from your money.
Exactly. It happens all the time. We see this, especially on the social media sites. People give up this information too freely. We tell consumers, parents, not to put your children's school name behind them because they know where they're at and they know how old they are. Sometimes they say grade 6. I mean, so you can't feed these identity thieves or scam artists with any additional information. There is a dark web out there, and I've seen it. I went into it with some IT teams, and I seen passwords I used like 5-10 years ago that nobody else would know. It was in there. So everybody, they're building a file on you, and it's just a matter of time before they steal your identity. That's what data breaches might happen, 5 years ago, and you're a victim today because it took that time to get additional information to steal your identity.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart. We're talking to Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago. The romance scams, they are still out there. And again, another situation in which the sense of urgency overrides the rational part of your brain.
It is. And it's really alarming to see this. You have people wanting to marry somebody they have not met. It's quite mind-boggling, but the persuasion of these scam artists in telling them everything they want to hear, that they're falling in love, but there's a reason they can't meet. They're either in an army, they're stationed somewhere else, or they're working offshore on something, but they all end up needing money, and that's what it usually comes down to be. I want to visit you, or my mom's sick. I need plane fare. So people start sending money. There's a couple of years ago, there was a report from a TV station here. They did a story on this romance scam, and it took me almost 2 hours to convince the woman that this guy did not exist. I mean, she believed she was buying a wedding dress. She was believing that she was going to marry this guy, and I had to convince her this guy does not exist. And it's just the emotional bond they strike with these individuals. It can be men and women. It doesn't matter. It happens all the time, but usually they can't meet in person and they don't see each other, even on a video call.
See, this is, we had this conversation. And you can say, well, this clearly happens to someone else. But I think we've all been on social media long enough to get the follower who's like the stock photo of a model, a beautiful blonde, a beautiful so-and-so from somewhere, whoever is beautiful to you.
Right.
That's the person who adds you as a friend or follows your social media or has a request to follow you. And I just block those people immediately because I know exactly what they're doing. But for a lot of others, they think, hey, great, the pretty lady's following me.
Right. You see it all the time. People just do a reverse Google search. You can look at a picture and reverse the image and do a reverse search and see where else it's on. Some pictures are on thousands of websites. And now what they're doing, especially on text, is they're emailing, oh, you'd like to meet for coffee tomorrow. I'm sorry, I got the wrong number. What's your name? And they strike up this conversation. Or I'm in town on a business trip. Are you available? And they say, oh, I'm sorry, it's not me. And then they strike this friendship up. They want to grab this friendship, build this relationship. They want to nurture this relationship. You know, and it basically it can take years before you even realize you're a victim of these scams. I've seen people go years being swindled, and usually they stop when they run out of money sending to them. That's the only reason they know that they've been swindled in some way.
I think these are can be amusing stories, just the various ways the various ways in which scammers operate, but they do leave a great deal of wreckage behind, because you have the embarrassment of realizing that you've been had. And as you point out, you could literally clean out your bank account.
Right. It happens all the time, especially the emotional distress that the people go into and what happens to them. And some people have taken their lives once they become victimized by somebody else or losing their life savings. So there's a financial hardship. There's an emotional hardship. And they just don't realize they've been scammed and that this is not true. Everybody says it can't happen to me. Or I just hear about it on radio or something like that, but it does happen quite often as well. And there's so many signs that these are scams, but people just don't pick on them because they believe that they're in love with this particular individual or that they won this lottery somewhere. They'd even buy a ticket, but they won the lottery, Rob.
Well, we talk about sophisticated technological scams. And actually, let's talk about the webcam cover, because that is a new category of scam, especially coming out of COVID-19, where everybody learned to work at home and everybody had a laptop with a camera or had a brand new HD camera to put in their home office. And you may think when the camera's off, it's off, but that's not the case, hence the cover.
Correct. It's basically identity theft. They get into your system in some way and they start taking advantage of the situation, looking at your emails and things of that nature. One of the tricks they've recently found out is they can figure out, get access to your camera and turn the light off. So most laptops have a camera, but they have a light on it so you know it's on. Well, the scammer knows how to shut the light off and keep the camera on, so they could be watching you when you're home or what you're doing and looking at your screens and things of that nature. So that's why it's important to have a webcam cover to cover it at all times, even though you know you may not be needing it, you should leave it off.
Well, the bulk of the program has been devoted to sophisticated technological scams, but let's talk about analog scams. I mean, how many service scams or even service ripoffs are reported to your office and your organization on a daily basis?
Well, it's hard to say on a daily basis, but we get about 65,000 complaints a year, and a lot of them are in the service industry itself, the construction and the waterproofing and things of that nature. So you still have the traditional complaints, the auto dealers, things that we handle on a continuous basis, but they're always been around. They always will be around. And I think consumers, what we do at the Better Business Bureau is keep track of these complaints that come in and do a report based upon the number of complaints and what type of pattern of complaint. So hopefully your complaint will help us adjust the grade on that particular company. Or if there's a pattern, we let the people know that there's a pattern of complaint. So it's important to look ahead of time of the company itself before doing business with them.
Now, when you're talking about a service-based scam, let's say a contractor, for example, what are some good rules of thumb to follow? Because if you have a budget and you want to solve a problem, maybe a friend who works in construction but doesn't necessarily work in this particular field, they can do it for a lower cost, but at the end of the day, it could be more expensive for you.
Right, exactly. Be careful if money says they have this guy, because that's a concern. Or somebody happens to appear at your house out of the blue. I happen to be down the street, and I can help you in some way. And that's all I need. You pay me cash and pay me the whole amount due, and I can get you a steeper discount today. And there's just so many things. They promise everything. They're not even insured to help. If somebody gets hurt on your job, they can go after you as well. And you should have homeowners insurance to protect yourself. And that contractor does, but a scammer or a bad business, even a storm chaser, you know, many times the storms happen each and every year. And the storm chasers come to the neighborhood. They're not licensed. They're not bonded. They don't have any protection. So somebody coming out of the blue saying they're down the street or they got a guy for you. No, you got to do your due diligence. Check with the licensing. Make sure they have a valid business license in the city or they're operating in out of. Make sure they have insurance and things of that nature. Vince.
And then lastly, how much has a text-based text message scams, has that just complicated your life? Because it seems like the wave of tollway invoice scams. It appears like it's gone out to sea now. It's really slowed down. But there was a time when you would get two or three per day.
I still get them all the time, not even totally, but other type of banking ones or whatever it may be. It works, Rob, and that's why they continue to do it. It's more personable using a text than an email. So if somebody sees a text, they think it's more important to answer or quickly to answer. It could be from your bank. You just recently bought a TV, Rob. Is that you didn't buy it. Click here. They want you to click, and that's the key. They can put either spam or malware on your phone, take control of your phone, and even lock it up. You know, they can do damage by just clicking on a link, and it happens to consumers, and it happened to businesses. There's a law firm I know had to pay $1 million recently because their receptionist clicked on a link and locked their computers up.
Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago, thank you for joining us this week on At Issue. If you'd like to hear the program again, you can find it at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and now the iHeartRadio app. Join us next weekend for another edition of At Issue. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.